Morning.
Today's daf in Tumos Daf Lamed. We're back on Chavtes. Chavtes Amin Alf. A couple more points we have to finish up regarding Muksa. And then we get to start Esnan. Animals that are disqualified towards the Mizbeach. You can eat this animal. I can eat this animal. The animals are not also Ba'achila, but they are nevertheless Pugim, sainted animals, and therefore cannot be used for the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah gave us a list of those things. The Mishnah starts on Chav Ches Amad Aleph, and it goes through an assortment of various pagams, things that aren't good. So, first off, the Mishnah starts off with a Roveya, the animal that was involved. The animal that was involved in bestiality, Veya Nirva. The Hamuksa Veya Neva, an animal involved in Avodah Zarah. Now, Muksa means it was set aside for Avodah Zarah. Neva means that the animal was actually worshipped. Okay, Neva we'll come to discuss in just a moment, but right now we're on Muksa, we're discussing the term Muksa. Muksa means set aside. So if you remember yesterday's daf, yesterday we quoted the Pasuk in Shoftim, where Kadosh Baruch Hu told Gideon, I need you to bring your animals, your father's animals, even though they were set aside for Avodah Zarah, even though they were Muksa. We learn from that Pasuk that Muksa means that it was set aside for 7 years. Okay, and despite the fact that normally it's prohibited, but for Gideon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, O Rasha, I'm giving you a temporary suspension of the law, and which is that you're allowed to bring it. And the Gemara we went through yesterday said a number of things were suspended for Gideon at that moment in time, so that the animals could be brought as a karban. So that is, and that's where we got through yesterday. We got through also the drasha of Minayim Muksim in the Torah. We did that as well. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay, about 8-9 lines down from the top of the page, a little bit more regarding Muksa. Amar Rava bar Rav Ada Amar Rav Yitzchak Ein Muksa Asar Ela Ad Shia Avdu. Okay. Rashi over here, on this Gemara over here, offers two pshatim. Rashi says he prefers his second pshat. So I'm going to offer right now Rashi's second pshat. And that is the following. And Rashi says, really, everything hinges on the word Ella. Rashi says, had it not said the word Ella, he would have gone with his first pshat, but the Gemara does say the word Ella, and Rashi says it goes like this. An animal set aside for Avodah Zarah, right? Good. You can't use that animal, right? It's pogum, it's disqualified for the Mizbeach. Let's say the Komrim, the priests of whatever Avodah Zarah it is, let's say the priests say, you know what? We need a little bit of help. We need a little bit of work. Let's work our animals, meaning the ones that we set aside for Avodah Zarah. So what does that demonstrate? That they're not interested in these animals anymore for Avodah Zarah. Meaning if they really felt that these animals were for their deity, for their God, they wouldn't be working the animal. So once they work the animal, they actually remove the status of Muksa. Okay? Ula Amar Rav Yochanan Ashim Zeru Lechomrei Avodas Kochavim. The Gemara gives another opinion, which, again, going with Rashi, basically goes along the same lines. Meaning that once they give the animals to the priests, Rashi explains, La'achila, meaning that the priests need a little bit of food, and so the Avodah Zarah people say to the priest, here, why don't you take these animals? Even though these animals were set aside for Avodah Zarah, but the priest needs something to eat, here, take this for food. So once again, it removes the status of Muksa. Beha, that's his name. Right?
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. But isn't there the concept of dihud that once an animal is dihud, then you can't bring it back again?
Right, but first of all, it's Bale. Yeah, but it's Bale Chaim. So Bale Chaim are, generally speaking, not Nidche, although that is a subject to a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. And over here, Even if number one, the answer could be simply we hold ein balechaim ein nidachim. Live animals are not rejected, and even if you want to hold that live animals could be rejected, but this is even by a Jew. This is by a guy. So maybe we can even be more lenient. Okay, I throw that out there off the cuff. His name is Beha. We'll talk a little bit more about him later on. Unusual name. I cannot think of another place where his name is used, but that doesn't mean anything. So, Be'am Rav Yochanan, Achi Achilenu Kashina Avodas Kochavim. Even when you start fattening up the animal, meaning you don't even have to give it to the Komrim as dinner, but if you start fattening up the animal as if to say that this animal now is going to be enjoyed by the Komrim, and we're not going to use it anymore for Avodah Zarah. So it's, again, that's another way to remove the status of Muksa. So Amale Rabbi Abba Beha Mafil Gisu Aston Aula. So he says, you know, you're arguing with Ula. Amale Lo Ula Nami. Ula agrees with me. Same basic story. That once you start feeding it, so at that point in time, you're removing the status of muksa. Am Rabbi Abba Yada Beha Lishanu Yishmaite. So Beha, this Amora, who was contemporaries with Ula, so he knows how to learn up a sugya. The Ilo de Salakasam Lohava Yada, the Eretz Yisrael Garmalei. And you know why he's so smart? Because he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he learned in Eretz Yisrael. Had it not been for Eretz Yisrael, he wouldn't be that smart. The Gemara says regarding Beha. Amle Rav Yitzchak Beha Mikan Umikan Hava. Sorry, Beha Mikan Umikan Hava. And the Gemara says, no, that this Beha was from both. What does that mean, Mikan Umikan? Rashi says, Mi Bavel Umi Eretz Yisrael. Meaning he's from both. And he learned, right, he learned the Yeshiva in Bavel, and he learned the Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And don't give Eretz Yisrael all the credit. Okay. The Rav Chanina Tritaa Kameh de Rav Yochanan in Muksa Aser Ella Ashi Aser B'Maisa. So the Gemara then makes one final statement regarding Muksa, which is a Maisa must be performed with the animal. So Hutanila V'Hada Amar La My Maisa Achi Igzos V'Yavdubo. Until you shear the animal, until you work the animal. And again, going with the Rashi Pshat that we saw earlier, it could mean, again, that once you shear the animal, once you work the animal, that shows that you're no longer interested in the animal for Avodah Zarah, and can in fact remove the status of Muktza. Okay. Ezehu Ne'avad. The Gemara now continues. We're talking now about Ne'avad. Now remember, I discussed this yesterday, just quickly to review. Animal worship as Avodah Zarah, meaning we're deifying the animal, like they do in India. So, interestingly enough, the animal doesn't actually become prohibited. Right, a live animal cannot become prohibited. Statues can become prohibited, and most inanimate objects cannot can become prohibited. But a live animal cannot become prohibited. Nevertheless, it was worshipped as a avodah zarah. Pasnish, it does not go up onto the mizbeach. Okay. Minan emili amar apapa damakram mimashke yisrael minamutal yisrael. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel. We've seen this pasuk already a number of times. Mimashke Yisrael. Meaning that, what do you offer up onto the Mizbeach? Anything that you and I can eat. Okay? Very simple equation. If you and I can eat it, the Mizbeach can eat it. So the Yitzhakadach HaSiyo LeHajolam LeKra. So now, an animal that's worshipped. So if the animal is something that you and I cannot eat, immediately we know it can't go up onto the Mizbeach. Okay? So Lamalikram, Mimatina Megavov, Khalhecha Desio Lahajal Baikram. So the Gemara says, so the fact that it's excluded from the Mizbeach is an indication that you and I can eat it, because otherwise there'd be no need for a pasuk. So the Gemara says, yeah, but let's go back to our Mishnah on Chavches, and you'll note one of the things that's excluded is a trefa. Now you and I can't eat a trefa. So why does the Torah have to go out of its way and say, you know, if the animal's a treifa, you can't offer it on the Mizbech? That should be a no-brainer. In other words, the Pasuk says, Mimashke Yisrael, and that teaches us that anything that you and I cannot eat definitely cannot go on the Mizbech. So the Gemara says like this, Sakadach Hamina Hanimil Dinitra Fabachakach Niskacha. Well, maybe I would have thought like this. If it first was a treifa and then I was makdish it, yeah, that I understand. I couldn't eat it, therefore the mizbeach can't eat it. But if I'm first makdish it and then it develops a treifa, so the Gemara suggests maybe we could be more mako. Again, I know it's a funny havamina. What difference would it make if it gets a treifa before or after hektish? I'm not sure. I don't fully understand this. But the Gemara is suggesting that's what I would have thought, and that's why I need an extra pasuk. The Gemara says we even have another exclusion where the pasuk says regarding Maisa Behema, it has to walk. In order for an animal to be a Maisa Behema animal, it has to walk under the shavit, under the stick. And if it doesn't walk under the stick, it cannot go towards your Maisa Behema. Once again, the Gemara says it's another source for treifa. Ha'inami, it's the And again, the Gemara makes another suggestion. I might have thought that the treifa is only prohibited to the Mizbeach only if it was born a treifa. But let's say it wasn't born a treifa, and then afterwards it becomes a treifa. I might have thought that it would be okay to the Mizbeach. Not that you and I can eat it, obviously, but it may be okay for the Mizbeach, kamash malan. So the Chiddush is, no, even in that case, I cannot offer to the Mizbeach. Comes out by treifa. Strange. We have actually three drushas by treifa in terms of why it is a treifa cannot be applied towards the Mizbeach. Once it tells us that even if it's a treifa after it's born, once it tells us that even if it's treifa after a matishit, in all those circumstances it does not matter, a treifa cannot go towards the Mizbeach. Why that should be, that there'd be a havamina that a treifa could go to the Mizbeach when you know that you and I can't eat it. Hard to understand, but anyway, that's how the Gemara sets up the world of treifa. Okay, and we continue, and we move on to a delicate topic. It's going to be very delicate, okay, and I'll try to treat it accordingly, but we are on to the next disqualification towards the Mizbeach, and that is, what if, after services have been rendered by a prostitute, you pay the prostitute, and you pay her with an animal? Now, that's not strange, by the way, because one of the first stories that we see in prostitution in the Torah involved the payment of an animal, right? Yehuda and Tamar. Actually, truth of the matter is, he didn't have the animal on him at the time, so he said, here, let me give you a collateral, a little, you know, you'll hold on to this, and then I'll come back with the animal. And then, of course, when he comes back, he can't find her, and, right, you know how that story went. So the, but nevertheless... Right. Funny, I was wondering the same thing myself, and the Gemara doesn't discuss that. I was so curious to that as well, and it does not come up in the Gemara. It seems, again, I'm not sure, but it seems like it's only if you hand her the animal itself. But the money itself doesn't have a set of vestam, but again, I'm just working with what the Gemara says. The Gemara just doesn't talk about it. Okay, and so... this discussion over here, aside from being delicate, is also going to be a little bit complex because, really, what's the definition of a zona? So, I know it's a funny question, but what's the definition of a zona? So, you'll see that also is not going to be clear. Meaning, I would think that if a woman's ready to accept money for services rendered, that by itself is the definition of a zona, but as we go through today's sugya, you will see that we will not have clarity on that issue as well. The Gemara will bring down a number of opinions in terms of what defines a zona. Okay? So a lot of qualifications over here. Kipshuta, in other words, before we get bogged down in the Gemara and the complexity of the Gemara, I mean, I think we all basically understand. Meaning pasnish, meaning a woman is using, right, is selling herself and now taking the proceeds of that sale and bringing it to the Mizbeach, meaning it's nice that she wants to get close to Tekarish Baruch Hu, but that kind of behavior is not acceptable behavior, and so we don't want that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want that to be brought up onto the Mizbeach. Okay.
It would be the same for anything you pay with an animal for any sins that you cause.
I understand. In other words, you would think that this would extend. It doesn't extend. In fact, tomorrow's daf we're going to see. The Gemara says don't extend it to anything else. Tomorrow's daf, which will even be more delicate, will say even if, let's say, the payment was used for bestiality,
right?
You would think that animal for sure cannot be used on the Mizbeach, and the Gemara says no, that animal is fine. Right, it's only a zona. So we try to apply logic to the Torah, and then you realize that you end up sometimes hitting a brick wall. So to a certain degree, we understand this. We don't fully understand this, but again, to a certain degree, we all understand this. The Torah does not want us to behave in this manner. The Torah doesn't want the zona to be a zona. The Torah doesn't want us to solicit a zona. Meaning that part we all understand. Is there a formal prohibition in the Torah to solicit a zona? I mean, there's a prohibition for a woman to be a zona. And, okay, look, it's some of it gets a little bit cloudy. Okay, but...
you're not fascinating, huh?
The Gemara is already delicate enough as it is. I don't need to make it any more delicate than it already is. So the Mishnah starts off nice and easy, which is like this. In other words, if a man says to a woman, here's a sheep for your services, So that sheep now is an Esnan. Okay? By the way, the word Esnan itself, you would pronounce it Etnan. I don't know how to pronounce things. I'm Ashkenaz. Yeah, it comes from the word ten, meaning it's a gift. But it's not really a gift, though, because it's payment for services rendered. In fact, the Gemara is going to be very clear. If it's just a gift, and we'll talk about how you know that, if it's just a gift, that doesn't have the status of Esnan. It has to be specifically as payment for services rendered, or services that will be rendered. Again, we'll be clear about that as well. And even if it's 100 animals, it's going to be Asur. Gemara is going to discuss that later on. Let's say a man says to another, look, I have an Eved, Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani. Stay tuned, we'll talk about that later. And you have a Shivcha. So you know what? So let's put the two of them together. Okay? And I'll pay you for that. So that's also an Esnan. Well, subject to a debate. Rebbe Omer, we'll take out the word Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Omer ain't no Esnan. Rebbe says, no, that's not an Esnan. The Chachamim Omerim Esnan, and the Chachamim say, that also is an Esnan as well. Which, by the way, that's the Vechein of the Mishnah. The Vechein of the Mishnah means, according to the Chachamim, even if you yourself are not the one receiving the benefit of the services, even though it's only your Eved receiving the benefit of the services, but nevertheless, you're using this animal as payment for Zenus, so therefore, it's that payment also now, the animal that's used in payment is going to have status of Esnan. Okay. Much to discuss on the Mishnah. Many of the points of the Mishnah are right now unclear. We start with the Gemara. Amar Amar. Afilu hein mea kulan asur hechidami. So we start off with a very simple question. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, even if you give her 100? Well, the Gemara asks a very simple question. If she's asking for 100, if she's charging 100, and you're paying 100, so every animal now has a status of Esnan. What's the Mishnah trying to tell me? That seems to be obvious. So, hechidam ilem deshakla agra mea behemos pshita dekulo asire. Malichad mali mea. What difference does it make? 1 or 100? Lo tricha deshakla agra chada v'yahiv le mea dekulo mekoach Esnan kasi. She charges only one. Okay? And you say, okay, again, it's delicate, but you say, okay, he got excited. He said, okay, instead of one, he gives her 100. Okay. So you could have said that one was for payment and the 99 are just a gift. So the Gemara says, no, that's not how it's viewed. The way that it's viewed is that each one is koach mikoach asnan, meaning that they were all basically, I guess, it's like a tip. It was like, yeah, okay. And so therefore, every one of them now is going to have the status of Esnan. Tanu Rabbanan. Nasan la v'lo ba'ala, ba'ala v'lo nasan la Esnan amutar. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa is flat out difficult. Just a difficult Braisa. Nasan la v'lo ba'ala, the first part of the Braisa says that he has relations, he pays her but he doesn't have relations with her. Okay? Second part of the Braisa is ba'ala v'lo nasan la. He has relations with her, but he doesn't pay her. In both of those cases, the Esnan would be mutter. Okay. Right? You can't wrap your head around either part of the Braisa. Both parts of the Braisa are difficult. So the first part of the Braisa is where he gives her, but he doesn't have relations with her. You can't say that's Esnan Zona. Okay? Right. And the second part of the case of the Braisa is even more difficult because he has relations with her, he doesn't give her anything, so there's nothing to talk about, meaning there's no Esnan payment at all. So both parts of the Braisa are difficult, and the Gemara now tries to get us through both parts of the Braisa. So, Nasan la v'lo ba'ala, Esnan akarishlein. So, if he's giving her money, but he doesn't have relations with her, so how can you call this an Esnan? V'su ba'ala v'lo Nasan la. And the second part of the Braisa also is difficult, if not impossible to understand. If he doesn't pay her, so there's no Esnan to even talk about. So Allahachi Kitani. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to really, the Braisa is obviously saying something. We're not going to just do away with the Braisa, but we're going to try to give some sort of pshat. Nasan la v'acharkach ba'alaha, ba'ala v'acharkach nasan la esnan amutar. Okay. So now we're going to say that it's a question of when he pays her. If he pays her beforehand, so that's not an Esnan. If he pays her afterwards, well, that's not an Esnan. You're really now limited, meaning, okay, so you can't... paying before is not an Eson, paying afterwards is not an Eson, so you have to pay during? Okay. In other words, that's really what we've limited ourselves down to, because not before, not after. So the Gemara is going to try to clarify this. V'lechol ala Eson l'mafreya. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You set aside an animal to say, this will be for payment, right? Discuss the payment plan. She demands an animal. You say, okay. And you put aside an animal. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. Why shouldn't it be an Eson? Shouldn't it receive the status of Eson? And if you take a look at that last Rashi on the page, so where, even though the animal may not be in her possession right now, what difference does it make? The animal was pledged as payment, and she has relations with him. So now you know that animal, at that point in time, regardless of where that animal is, should have the status of Esnan. Look, if you didn't discuss payment plan, and afterwards you say, okay, you know what, let me give you an animal. So Rashi says, so there I understand, that animal doesn't have status, because that wasn't discussed. And so that animal is just simply a matana. But if you talked about the payment and you said you're going to give the sheep and you pledged the sheep, so even though you didn't hand it to her beforehand and you only handed it to her afterwards, what difference does it make? That sheep should have the status of Esnan. Amar Rav Elazar, we're now on the top of Chav Tech Amid Beis, Shekadma Vihikrifto. So the Gemara says, well, the case would be like this. Right, you talked about the payment. You actually even gave her the sheep. And what did she do? She ran and she offered it. And then afterwards, you had relations with her. Okay, now the Gemara says, let's think this through for just a moment, because even this doesn't make total sense. Look, if when you gave her the sheep beforehand, you said, here, and you not only you made a kinyan. You made an absolute kinyan. So the Gemara says, Pshita de Mutter, Da'at Kan Lo Ba'alaha. Well, that sheep now, at this point in time, can't be considered payment for services rendered, because services have not been rendered. So this, at this point in time, it's simply a gift. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara over here is clearly identifying prepaying as not considered payment. Meaning, it's not, it's just a gift. So, Ve'ela Da'amala, Lo Nikni Lecha Chasbiya. So, the Gemara suggests that what he did is he gave her the sheep and he says, okay, hold on to this, but it's not yours yet, and it won't be yours until services are rendered. Okay, so in other words, right now he deposited it by her, and then once services are rendered, now it becomes hers. But the Gemara says, okay, but then she can't offer it before services are rendered, because it's not yet hers. We know the rule. You can only offer a carbon if it's yours. And if we're talking about before services were rendered, it's not hers. Okay? Let's see. Chadam Allah, lo mikne lach ad shas bia. V'imitzarech lach nikne lach me'achshav. So the Gemara says that what he did is he gave it to her and he said, look, I'd prefer if this not be yours until bia. But if you really need it, I understand you're going to want to run to the Beis HaMikdash and offer this as a carbon. If you need it, so then I'll let you have it. But I'd prefer that you didn't have it until actual Shasabia. Okay, complicated answer. A really complex answer. He gave it to her, he didn't give it to her, somewhere in the middle now. He didn't give it to her, but unless she really needs it. It is a difficult and complex answer, but we're trying to explain a brisa which in of itself is difficult and complex. And so, okay, so the Gemara deals now with complexity. By Rav Oshia.
By the time he does all this talking,
perhaps.
Maybe that's what
perhaps.
Said, you know?
Right, I'm reminded by the other Gemara where right the Zona was all the way on the top of the bed and eventually his he beat his Yetzer Hara in that case. By Rav Oshia, Kadma Vikdishasa Mai. So the Gemara now says in this scenario, let me ask you this question. So now we've established that in this very complicated case, where he gives it to her beforehand, and he says to her, look, I'd like it if you didn't take it before Bia, but if you need it, go ahead and use it. And we also establish that if she offers it beforehand, the carbon's a good carbon. And it's not an Esnan. And it's totally acceptable. Okay, imagine how that conversation with the Kohen goes, by the way. She explains to the Kohen, look, really, I'm a Zona, and I know you're worried that this is an Esnan, but don't worry, though, because services haven't been rendered yet, so therefore this is not an Esnan. Cohen's just nodding his head and saying, okay, fine. No, I got it. Okay, it's not an Esnan. The Gemara wants to know, what if before services were rendered, she didn't offer it as a carbon, but she was just makdish it? She was just makdish it. So my tisha lay mid the Rabbi Elazar, Damer of Elazar, kadma vi krifto, he krifti hi dahalaytha b'shas bi'aval, he gdisho asr. So the Gemara suggests, well, if all she was doing is just being makdish it, that's not enough. Meaning that before services are rendered, she has to bring it as a carbon. So he gufa kami ba'ilay, he krifto vahalaytha, b'shas bi'a mutter, aval he gdisho b'shas bi'a asr, o dima kem and didnan, and riyasa gavok, and misir arsa lahajot, he gdisho mutter v'choshakar, and he krifto. The Gemara says maybe that was part and parcel what Rabbi Elazar was asking. Meaning Rabbi Elazar says, look, if she offers it before the bia, that for sure is okay. But I'd like to know this. What if she was just makdish it? Because when you're makdish something, that's a transfer. Meaning I no longer am the owner of it. I'm the trustee of the animal. Right? It's in my care, but I don't own it anymore. So the argument you can make is that if she was makdish it, but she didn't offer it, And then services are rendered. So you could make the argument that at that point in time, once she was makdisha, the animal is no longer hers, and so therefore it will not get the status of esnan. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, I don't know. Teiku. On this last question, we don't know. Now we go on to the next part of the brisa, which is difficult. Ba'alav achakach nasan la. He first has relations with her, and then he gives her esnana mutter. So what did the brisa say? That esnan would be mutter. I tell you, the Gemara says, yeah, but we learned in another brisa, ba'alav and asan la fila shem asar chodesh esnan asar. The brisa says that if he has services rendered, and then he pays her, and even up to 12 months later, the esnan would be asar. So amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista lo kasha adam ala ibali b'tlezeh, hada amar la ibali b'tlestam. So the Gemara says, well, it's very simple. If before services were rendered, he doesn't pay her anything, but he says, look, I'm committing myself, not to a sheep, but to this sheep. And he actually points out which sheep she has to look forward to getting. Okay, good. So that now will, so at the Shas of Bia now, that sheep is going to be now, that's an Esnan, because that was promised towards the payment. If, however, he says to her, I'm going to give you a sheep, but he doesn't point to specifically which sheep it was, so that's not going to have the status of Esnan, because the sheep that he gives her is just Prias Chov, that's just the payment. But that wasn't, that sheep, that particular sheep was not set aside at the time of Bia. So the Gemara says, Tlezev, Amachus Mashicha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but even if he points to which sheep it is, so, still, so what? Meaning, it's not hers yet. And in fact, even though he gives it to her afterwards, but that's just to satisfy his obligation, his payment obligation. In other words, in order for it to be an Esnan, the kinyan has to be transferred at the time of services being rendered. And if we're talking about where the Zona was a Jew, so the halacha is by kinyanim of a Jew, that a man or a woman does not create a kinyan until Mashiach. Okay, so essentially the question now becomes, even if he hands it to her afterwards, the transfer is not till afterwards, so how does it get the status of Esnan? So the Gemara's answer is, okay, so the answer will go like this. We're talking about where the Zona is a non-Jew. Oh, okay. Zona is a non-Jew. We know that for a non-Jew, Kinyanim are not established through Mashiach. Kinyanim is established through payment. Here, payment is in the form of services, meaning she's buying a sheep, but she's not buying it with money, she's buying it with services, right? What we call here in America consideration, right? In other words, so you're not paying it with money, you're paying it with services. So she's buying it with services, so the actual acquisition comes at the exact moments of services being rendered. In fact, it's the actual services that are being rendered which are creating the kinyan for the non-Jewish Zona. Okay, so this is the first approach of our Gemara, and it's a little bit strange now, meaning that if a man has relations with a Jewish Zona, so how do you create an animal which is an Esnan, Again, we're not condoning or endorsing any of this. Just legally right now, clinically, we just want to know, how do you create an esnan? So if you pair after the fact, the answer is going to be, it's never going to be have status of an esnan.
Right.
So I guess the only case would be where you gave it to her beforehand. Even if you give it to her beforehand,
it's
before the act.
So how do you
transfer an esnan to a zona if she's a Jew? Am I really stuck now? Yeah, I know that, but that's terribly awkward, and I can't imagine that would be the only scenario. Kenyan Chatzar. Right.
Or some other
Kenyan. You're right. Maybe, right. Although the Gemara is assuming that it's got to be Mashiach. I mean, all right. So the Gemara's second answer is that it's in her chatzer. So the Gemara says, okay, but if it's in her chatzer, but if you put it in her chatzer before service is being rendered, so now it's hers. So now you're at the point where you've given it to her beforehand. And that's not payment for services rendered. So the Gemara says, Deshavila apotiki. So the Gemara says, okay, here's the case. Case would be where? It's unbelievably complex. You put it in her chatzer, and you point to the animal and say, apotiki. Now, apotiki is basically, it's more than just your backing, your obligation. It's your earmarking. This is where the money's going to come from. Meaning, I owe you. Okay? And usually what you do on any type of obligation is you secure it with your general assets. Right? If you say a potiki, that means that you're pointing to either a piece of real estate or to a specific object that you have, and you say potekai, meaning that really this is going to be your first recourse in terms of payment. So, it's, in other words, this doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily is the payment, but I'm telling you though, that after I owe you the money, the first thing you can turn to in terms of collecting your obligation is going to be this object that we're earmarking. So once you establish the animal to be an apotiki, now, when services are being rendered, she now can look towards the animal as that payment, and that's how we get to a case of esnan. Thought it'd be easy to pay a zona for her services, but as we've just now identified, it's actually extraordinarily complex. The Amrla, I should have read this. In other words, if I pay you, fine. And if not, the tle will be payment for services rendered. Okay. Amar Rav. Okay, and here we go. And now, up until now, the Gemara has been a little bit complicated, but all we've been doing so far is just trying to figure out how exactly can the payment be a precise payment for services rendered, not giving it to her beforehand, which is a matana, not giving it to her afterwards, which is only considered a matana, but rather the animal being used for services rendered. Okay. Now we get onto a discussion which is extraordinarily delicate, and that is, what exactly, which type of relationship are we looking at which is the Torah renders an esnan zona. Okay. Amar Rav. Echad esnan zachar, ve'echad esnan kol arayos, aser chutz me esnan ishto nida. Maitaina zona ksiva halav zonahi. Rav says that the woman and man have to be forbidden to one another. It is not enough for just simply the man and the woman to be male and female, and he solicits her as a prostitute. That's not enough. They have to be forbidden to each other. In fact, according to Rav, it has to be an Isser Erva. Meaning, Rav really limits this whole halacha of Estan Zona, where it's not that she's just a Zona, a prostitute, but she's forbidden to him. Estan Zachar, now even if it's male prostitution, says Rav, okay, but Mishkav Zachar is Arayas. It's an Erva in the Torah. So, and the only exception, says Rav, is going to be Ishto Nida, where a man goes to his wife and says, I want to hire you, I want to pay you, while she's a Nida. So, my time is Zona Ksiva, I love Zona He. Now, that's not a Zona. Okay. Levi Amar Filishtanida, my Tamatoeva, Ksiva Hatoeva, he. And Levi says, no, even Ishtonida, that is considered a Toeva. So Levi Nami Vaksiv Zona, Amlacha, he Zona, Velo Zona. Right, took me a while to figure this one out. Zona, Velo Zona, without vowels in the Gemara, it can get a little tricky. Meaning, what if she pays him? Right? Is that, right, again, none of this is promoted, none of this is condoned, all this is very immoral behavior, but we're looking at it from just from the aspect of, is that payment going to be viewed as an esnan? And this, and Levi says, no, it's not. It's not going to be viewed as an esnan. Right? The Torah only is talking about zonah, where she's receiving payment. But if she's paying him, that doesn't have the status of esnan.
Would Levi also rule out Mishkavzach based on that?
No. And I think the answer is because as long the prime parameter is that you need him to pay for services rendered. Now he's paying another man, but right, and it's hard to call that other man a zona grammatically.
Right.
I understand where your question is coming from, but I can't imagine. It could, but v'rav ha'u zonah v'lo zonah menale nafkele midrabi. Now, Rav agrees with Levi, principally, that in order for something to have the status of esnan, it has to be man paying for woman not paying for man. But he doesn't learn it from zonah v'lo zonah. He learns it from a different source, notably Rebbe's source. They're telling you, Rebbe Omer, Ein Esnan, Esnan Zona, Ella Kol Esnan, Habaslo Be'Avera. Same basic message from Rebbe, which is that in order for the animal to have status Esnan, the man and the woman have to be forbidden to one another. Aval Esnan Ishto Nida V'Shenasan Laschar Lafkasa V'Shenasan Lo Be'Esnana V'Shenasna Lo Be'Esnano Mutarin. But if it's a wife who's a nida, or if it's a man paying a zona, schar batala, meaning I'm not paying you for services rendered, I realize your time is valuable, I'm just paying you for your time, or if she pays him, all those cases, esnan would be mutaf, apishen rilo davar, zechlo davar, and Rebbe says, look, on this last point over here, I can't bring you absolute proof, but I can bring you zechlo davar, like a remez. In Navi, specifically from the Navi Yecheskel, v'titcha esnan v'esnan lo nitan lach v'tehi lehefech. Yecheskel is giving mercy to the Jewish people. You know, you Jewish people, you're like a prostitute, but you're worse than a prostitute because at least a prostitute gets paid. You leave a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and not only do you get paid, not only do you not get paid for leaving a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but you actually pay. To leave a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're like the opposite of a zona. That's the muster that Yecheskel is giving the Jewish people, and the idea that Rebbe says. What do you see from this pasuk? That when a woman is not only not selling herself, but she's paying. That's like the opposite of a zona. Okay. V'rav haytoeva mayavile mi bayle kida abay dam rabbi zona v'ras kochavim esnana asar. So now for Rav. Now Rav doesn't look at the pasuk of Toeva. Meaning, remember what Rav said to start off this whole discussion? It has to be Mishkav Zachor, it has to be an Erva, the exception is Ishtonida. Why? Because it says Zona and she's not a Zona. And how did Levi dispute Rav? Yeah, but it says Toeva, and she's a Toeva. So clearly Rav takes the Toeva and uses it for something else. And the Gemara says he uses it for Abaye. Zona of Rizkochav Mesnana Aser, the zona of a non-Jew, meaning the woman is a non-Jew, a non-Jewish prostitute. That's going to be Aser. My time, Uksiv Hacha Toeva, Uksiv Hasem Kikol Asher Yasem, Mikol Toves Ha'el. Ma Lahalan Araish, Ein Kedushin Tofsin Ba, Hachanami, Ein Kedushin Tofsin Ba. Abaye says, in order for the animal to have the status of Esnan, the nature of the relationship between the man and the woman has to be where there's no Tfisas Kedushin. How do I know that? Gzereshava. Just like by Arayos there's no Tfisas Kedushin, so to by Zona there could be no Tfisas Kedushin as well. V'kon sheba alaha ein loka alaha mishum Zona. Additionally, if a Kohen has relations with her, he will not get malchus for a violation of zona. Meaning, on top of this, there's also a prohibition for a kohen to have relations with a zona. Right? One of the rules of being a kohen is that you're prohibited, lav min haTorah, to have relations with a zona. My time demokra lo yichalal zaro, misha zaro miyuchas acharav, yatzo vares kochavim, de'ein zaro miyuchas acharav. However, if a kohen has relations with a non-Jewish zona, he will not violate the law. Again, we're not endorsing, we're not condoning, by any stretch of the imagination, it's just that it's not going to be a formal law for the Kohen to have relations with a non-Jewish Zona, because there just simply is no Tfisas Kedushin. Zona Yisraelis Esnena Mutter. And then, Abaye brings it about full circle. And Abaye's conclusion is going to be strange. If a man has relations with a Jewish prostitute, so there, the est on payment is actually going to be mutter. Again, this is all according to Abaye. Matam da kedushin tofsimba. Because there's tfisas kedushin, there's a chance for marriage. I mean, that's not what he's interested in right now. But again, that's not the point. The point is that there is tfisas kedushin, which means that that kind of relationship doesn't give the animal status esnan. The kohen shabala aloka, and if a kohen has relations with her, he's going to get malchus mishum zona my taima da zar miyuchas acharav because zar is miyuchas. Okay, Abaye. If you put all the positions of Abaye together, Abaye paints a very funny picture. Abaye says that vis-a-vis the halach of esnan zona, it only is going to be for a non-Jewish prostitute, not for a Jewish prostitute. Okay, bizarre. And vis-a-vis the kohen not forbidden from having relations with a zona, which we know the kohen is forbidden. So it's now going to be, according to Abaye, also bizarre, where if a kohen has relations with a non-Jewish prostitute, so no malchus. If a kohen has relations with a Jewish prostitute, malchus. Okay, got all that? That's all Abaye's position. Rava Amar, Echad Zeh, Esnena Aser. So Rava starts off with a position of, regarding the status of Esnan for the animal, used in exchange for prostitution, so Rava says, it will always be Aser. It does not matter if the prostitute's a Jew, or it does not matter if the prostitute's a non-Jew. If you are paying for services rendered by a prostitute, so according to Rava, the animal will always have the status of Esnan. Okay, and the Kohen Ba'alaha, Loka Mishum Zona. And vis-a-vis the Kohen, where the Torah says to the Kohen, you cannot have relations with a Zona, it is forbidden to do so. So Rava says, it doesn't matter if she is a Jew or a non-Jew. Maitama, Yalfe Mehadade. And from Rava's standpoint, it's all interconnected. Ma Zona Yisraelis Balav Av Zona Avodos Kochavim Balav. O Ma Esnan Zona Avodos Kochavim Aser Av Esnan Zona Yisraelis Aser. Meaning, exactly. Once we've established that an Esnan Zona of a non-Jew is an Esnan Zona of a Jew is an Esnan. And once we've established that a Kohen cannot have relations with a Jewish Zona, a Kohen cannot have relations with a non-Jewish Zona as well. Okay. So we are right now involved in a very complicated machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Now I say it's complicated because there really are two issues that are occurring concurrently, and they both happen to be called Zona. One issue is, if you pay the Zona, the sheep or the lamb, or whatever animal you pay, does that animal now have the pagam of Esnan Zona where it cannot be used for the Mizbeach? So Abaye says that's only if you have relations with a non-Jewish prostitute. And Rava says no. It would be true if you have relations with a Jewish or a non-Jewish prostitute. Okay. And then concurrently, and according to Rava, they're totally interlinked, there's also another issue, which is, we know that a Kohen cannot have relations with a Zona. Okay? According to Abaye, what does that mean? It means that a Kohen cannot have relations with a Jewish prostitute. But if a Kohen has relations with a non-Jewish prostitute, there's no Malchus. Where Rava says, no, it also makes no difference. Jew or non-Jewish prostitute, a Kohen cannot have relations with either, and both are punishable by Malchus. Rava, you kind of get, or let me speak for myself. Rava, I kind of get, because from Rava, a Zona is a Zona is a Zona. By Abaye, it's very strange. Meaning, vis-a-vis the halacha of Esnan, it's only for a non-Jewish Zona. vis-a-vis for the halacha of a kohen, it's only for a Jewish zona. Okay, so according to Abaye, not every zona is the same. It depends on which halacha we're speaking of. Okay, so I lay this out for you. Hopefully I organized it well. Right? I'll let you be the judge. But from Abaye's standpoint, though, it's hard to wrap your head around what is and what isn't a zona. And obviously, it changes based on what we're talking about. Okay, back to the Gemara, Meisve. We're on the first on the first very wide line on the page, on Chavtes Amud Beis. Echad Zona Voskocham, Echad Zona Yisrael, Sasnena Aser. Okay, the Braisa says very clearly that it doesn't matter if it's a Jewish owner or non-Jewish owner, the payment that you give her will have the status of Esnan. Tiyufta Da'abaye. Right, that is challenging to Abaye, because remember, Abaye says it only is by non-Jew. So Amal Chabaye, Haman Rabbi Kivi, Damar in Kedushin Tovsin B'chayv Elavin. V'akamashman, D'chol Zona, Lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin, Dumya Damana, D'lo Tafsi Ba Kedushin. So Abaye gives a very difficult answer, and he says, well, the author of this verse is Rabbi Kiva, and you know Rabbi Akiva, anytime there's any prohibition whatsoever between the husband and wife, there's no Tfisas Kedushin. And so it comes out now that according to Rabbi Akiva, every forbidden relationship will result in the animal being an Esnan. Well, the Rava, Maishna, Dikhtani, Kagon, Aman, Lekohen, Gadol. So now, according to Rava, because remember, Rava says, any prostitute renders the animal a Esnan. So why did the Braisa specifically point to Aman and Kohen Gadol? To me, the Aman, Aman, Lelaki, Adamashri, Bey, Avzona, Adamar, Hey, Lach. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. Rava will argue with you and say to you, look, you know what the Braisa is trying to teach you? It's not enough to pay her. You have to specify and you have to tell her, I'm giving you the money for services rendered. If you just simply pay her without saying anything, that's not viewed as Esnan. You have to pay her and say the money's going to her as Esnan. La Fuke made the Rav Elazar. Now the Gemara points out, this takes us away from the position of Rav Elazar, Dama Rav Elazar, Panu Eba Panuya, Shalol Hashem Ishus, Asa Zona. Now Rav Elazar has a position which we don't follow la halacha, but his position is that if a single man and a single woman, both being Jewish, if they have relations not in the context of marriage, right, which unfortunately in America is super popular, so she becomes a Zona on account of that. Meaning, status-wise, she now is a Zona. But that had she been a Zona prior to that, so it would be Aser. So Lishna Achrina. Now we're going to do this again, and we'll do this quickly. But again, the Gemara now is going to go over the same give and take between Abaye and Rava. Ki ketani haba raisha in kedushin tovsin ba'al v'haktani seifa aman l'kohen gadol grusha v'chlus l'kohen hejot esnana asar v'hahani kedushin tovsin ba'han hamani rebo lazer hi da'amar panuya ba'al panuya shelo l'shem ishus asa zona. So the Gemara says this braisa, instead, this second version, instead of assigning the braisa according to Rabbi Akiva, we're just going to assign according to Rebo Lazer, but the result is the same result, which is, we're talking about Zona, meaning because a single man, a single woman have relations, that is Zona. Asa Zona. E Rebbe Lazar, my ear, Yaman, Nisne, Penuya. So the Gemara says, if we're going like Rebbe Lazar, so I don't need any kind of Issa whatsoever. Meaning, as long as it's an extramarital relation, that immediately results in her becoming a Zona. So Nisne, Penuya, Amana, Yitzrich, Sakadat, Chamina, Ho, Ubinyanavu, Lo, Nitzere. So the Gemara says, as a Havamina, now this is a very difficult Havamina. As a Havamina, I might have thought that in order for the act to result in her becoming a Zona, there has to be no other Isser involved. Meaning it has to be simply Panuya Ba Panuya. But once we involve another Isser, notably a Lav of Kohen Gadol to a Amana, so maybe she does not become a Zona through that act. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush says, no, she becomes a Zona even through that act. Okay. So, once again, that the last half a number of Gemara, it was definitely complicated. I went through it too quickly. Okay, I kind of feel bad about that. But anyway, but basically the story goes like this. We it's well established that if a man pays for the prostitution, so the payment is going to be an Esnan, which now is forbidden to be used for the Mizbeach. Okay? The only question now becomes, who are we talking about? Meaning, who does the man have to be? Who does the woman have to be? Or more specifically, who does the woman have to be? So we have, I could break it down to basically four opinions. Rav, five opinions. Rav, Levi, Rebbe, Abaye, and Rava. Okay? And the Rava position, I'll just focus on for the review, is really much, pretty much the, first of all, the accepted position, secondly, the easiest position, because Rava's position is, as long as she is a Zona, so at that point in time, the payment is going to be, have the status of Esnan. Doesn't matter if she's Jew, doesn't matter if she's not a Jew, as long as it is a, as long as she is a Zona, a bona fide Zona, so then the payment will have the status of Esnan. Okay. And the relationship doesn't necessarily have to be a forbidden relationship. Okay. Which is unlike the position of Rav, Levi, and Abaye, and Rebbe. Okay. So it's funny, it comes out then that Rav is arguing with so many people. He's arguing with Rav, Levi, and Rebbe. And Rebbe's a Tana. Okay, so complex, so yeah. Okay, tomorrow we finish up the status, the story of Zona, and we move on to Mechir Kelev tomorrow. Okay, and we move right along. Everyone have a great Shabbos. The learning we do this morning should be for Refuah Shlema to Rafael Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Abigail. Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha Marav Zaka Zol Ficha Chir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shenemar Naicha Feitz Amantiko Yagdil Tor Aviyadir.